1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Nationwide, community college enrollment grew by 100,000 students last year, and a large percentage of them were from lower-income neighborhoods. Here's Deborah Van Fleet.
At Western Nebraska Community College, TRIO Programs Director Tanya DeWitt says a number of their students who qualify for the federally funded program designed to help students with economic and other challenges has definitely increased. TRIO students must be a first-generation college student, have a household income not exceeding 150% of the federal poverty guideline, or have a disability. TRIO participants receive academic assistance, and DeWitt says many benefit from the Growth Mindset program.
Instead of, I can't do it, well, you can't do it right now, sure, but you can. All those negative, immediate, oh, well, no, I can't do nursing. Well, why is that? I just can't. Well, that's not true. So let's get to the bottom of it. Let's see what that is that's keeping you from being able to be successful.
DeWitt says the academic supports include in-person tutoring, 24/7 virtual tutoring, study guides, and online programs that assist with writing and research. She says the nursing program is very popular with TRIO students, and interest in the trades offerings is also growing. DeWitt says the ability to access tutoring any hour of the day or night, including holidays, is huge for some of their TRIO students.
We have the ones that are single parents in the middle of the night. That's when they're doing their homework.
Roughly 10% of WNCC's TRIO students are single parents. The Institute for Women's Policy Research reports that a large percentage of college students who are parents face enormous barriers to academic success, many of them economic. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation. I'm Deborah Van Fleet. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at wgbw.fm.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. For your Sunday, mostly sunny skies, light northeast winds with highs in the upper 70s. Tonight, a few clouds around, lows near 60. On Monday, plentiful sunshine, temperatures will be warmer. Light southeast winds and highs will reach the lower 80s. It's 75 at our studios.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. A weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
Well, welcome, everyone, to another episode of Lean Local. Lean Local, this is a show where we kind of do what we say in our name. We lean into the local issues here in greater Green Bay area. And while we have concerns, as I mentioned, every show about what's going on, you know, nationally, internationally, quite honestly, and statewide, what we do here at Lean Local is focus on what I think is really important, and that's the local issues, the local economy, the local taxes, the local business climate, the local education climate. And we do that here every Sunday at 1 o'clock. And we thank you for joining us. The other thing about Lean Local is we're a nonpartisan show. So many times, and especially this time of year, right? I mean, with November coming up, people are either leaning right or leaning left. And there's just a lot of, you know, blue, red. And this show, we want to focus on green and in greater Green Bay, kind of what's going on, what makes it all work. And, you know, sometimes people get really anxious about the presidential election. And I just want to touch on that for a second. But it's for someone who spent 20 years in politics, it was always a little frustrating when the turnout for the presidential election, a higher voter turnout than for like a mayoral election. And yet what happens in the city is, you know, the president's not going to pick up your garbage or assess your home or, you know, pick the number of police or fire or parks that we have here in our communities. And so I just would encourage people, you know, I mean, everyone should vote. And we don't get about 50% of the people on a good day to vote. But I mean, the largest voting contingency are those that don't vote, which is kind of weird. But anyway, we here talk about local, and we're going to talk about local elections as we come along. I mean, we're not a political show, but when we have candidates on here, we really talk about, if you're going to serve our government, how are you going to help Greater Green Bay? That's my question for them. And, you know, whether they agree with the wars or anything else that's going on, you know, God bless them for looking at that stuff. And but I just want to know how it's going to help Greater Green Bay become an even better city. Yet we're a great city, right? In U.S. News and World Report 2 years ago, right? We're
best city in the country.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. I mean, the best city in the country and all those places. I've mentioned this before, but you know, I've been in every state, and I've been like not just driving through or at the airport. I mean, I'm talking, I've been in every state, and people who say that, I'm like, okay, to me, to qualify to be in a state is you got to spend the night and you got to see one of their major attractions. So, and every, you know, my kids used to ask me, Dad, what's the best city? And I would just say to him, you know, honey, every city is. Just ask the mayor, right? Because you've been in a few cities. You lived in Akron, quite you lived in Virginia, and Wheeling, and they're all good. But my guest today I want to talk a little bit about, I want to talk a lot of bit about small business. I think sometimes you look at a community and, you know, you look at the Fortune, you know, 500, 100, you know, and we're blessed, right? I mean, we've got Schreiber. Right across the street from where we record this show, we've got Schneider. We've got an unbelievable healthcare system, banking. We've got some real players here in Green Bay, and that's good. But what makes any community work is the small business. And we're going to talk to a friend of mine who is an entrepreneur. He's a small business. We'll get into exactly what he does. His name is Sean
Zambarda,
and as he's in the hospitality business, and as he says, he's got a bar in his last name. So Zambarda, and he owns some businesses that you know. And before we really get into why he made the commitment here in Green Bay, you're not from Green Bay, and
no, sir.
a lot of people who I think own businesses, many of them hail from Green Bay or this community or, you know, Kaukauna, that kind of stuff, but. You were born in Akron and
lived in Ohio, lived in West Virginia. My parents were both from West Virginia, so I kind of call that home, in that tri-state Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia area.
That's not a bad area.
No, I love it. I mean, I love going to visit. We were just down there, in June, mm-hmm. and it was beautiful. My wife loves it now. When we first went down there, I mean, things are tough down there. I mean, that was part of the reason that I fell in love with Green Bay. I mean, yeah. There was work up here.
And we have a pretty stable economy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at that. I mean, you guys were pretty big in coal.
Yep. One of my grandfathers was a coal miner.
Yeah.
The other was a steel mill worker.
Right.
Weirton Steel.
And when those things go, the whole community goes. I mean, you look at even, you know, here we are, and somewhere I can talk politics, but yeah, I mean, you look at JD. I mean, he grew up, you know, in Ohio too, and the potential vice president, and mm-hmm. he just talks about how, you know, that town was devastated.
Yeah.
And I grew up, you know, in Two Rivers, and we had a lot of eggs in one basket, you know, Muro, and when they went under, that hurts. Whereas Green Bay, I'll give Green Bay, and this is, you know, I had very little to do with this, but, you know, I always supported it, the diversity of economies that we have here, from, you know, dairy, which is huge, paper, mm-hmm. healthcare. You know, education, that's, we, if something goes soft, we can kind of regroup and make it all work. So, yeah, I can see where that would scare you a little bit, you know.
I loved it down there, but I watched JD's movie, Hillbilly Elegy.
I'm watching it.
And I told my wife, I'm like, oh my God, this is like my childhood.
Right.
Not that my mom was like in like that.
Right.
But it is.
It's not fiction.
I mean, when my wife first went to West Virginia to see where I grew up, she said, "Oh my God, it's like a flashback to the 50s." Yeah, I mean, right. it's a wonderful place, wonderful people, yeah. Good, you know, but there was work up here. And,
right.
And my mother remarried. I came to visit in 1997.
All right.
And work was plentiful. I started going to school at TC and, you know, taking some classes, working two different jobs, you know.
Most successful entrepreneurs are pretty hard workers, and I know you're one of them. And so when you got here and you moved back, you moved to this area because of your mother's second marriage, and you thought, well, I'm going to come up here and see what it's like. And you're like, wow, there's more opportunity here than there is in Wheeling.
It was thriving. I mean,
yeah,
it really was. And I immediately was excited. And I called two of my friends, and my brother moved up here. One of my good friends back in West Virginia moved up here. He lived here for 5-6 years. I mean, working in.
Cool. So what did you, I mean, you didn't get here and buy the businesses you own today. So how did you, and you're in the hospitality business. I probably should have said that when I introduced you. Sean is in the restaurant hospitality business. How did you get into that? Or what did something attract you to that? Or,
you know, my mother at the time had a part-time job at the Radisson. She was working in the Shenandoah restaurant. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Hey, honey," she said, "you know, you can get a job here tomorrow. We need people and the money's great." And so I, you know, filled an application out, and a day later they called and,
next day you're working.
And I was like, holy smokes. I mean, I was, you know, it wasn't like that back home. I mean, we would apply for 20 jobs and maybe get one call back and then pray to God you get that position.
Yeah.
And drive for 20, 30 minutes to go there.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I started working, and a year and a half, maybe after that, a friend of mine that had worked with me there started working for Titletown Brewing Company, and they were a new company at the time. They opened in December of 96.
Okay, 96.
And then I came along in August of 98.
All right.
And
so they were relatively new, and that was a risk. I mean, they took an old train depot and converted it, and we're going to make this into a restaurant. People were like, it's not going to work. It's down. And downtown wasn't happening back then. I mean, it was, you know, no, people were talking about it.
Broadway district wasn't what it is today.
Right.
Yeah.
And nor this side either. I mean, there wasn't some of the business. And you need, I mean, you can't live on tourism in Green Bay. I mean, it's a great, you know, it's part of your business plan. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you need, you know, the locals to support
That's
you.
That's the bread and butter.
Right. You know. So you started working there and?
Started as a waiter, bartender, became a manager. Next thing you know, I was the general manager and, you know, loved it. I mean.
Yeah, you were good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I
love people. I love to make people happy.
Yeah.
You know, and the hospitality was like, and I tried to get out of it. When I met my wife, she said, "When are you going to get out of the restaurant business and get another job, a real job?"
That's a lot of hours.
And it is.
Right.
And she said, you know, we want to have kids and we want to.
Yeah.
And I tried. I left the industry for about 2 years. And I came home one day and I said, "Honey, this is not for me."
Right.
"So what do you want to do?" I said, "I want to go back to Titletown. I want to work with Brent." And,
yeah. You know, that's funny because that hospitality industry is, the people who work in it it's not the highest paid industry.
Even
if you look at it, you know, statistically, you know, you could be more being a clerk or working on a paper line or something like that. But I don't know. There's just something about the and I was, you know, in that industry a little bit, working my way through college, but it is fun.
I love it.
I mean, it is. The people that are, the employees are awesome, and the customers are usually pretty cool too.
Yep. Yep. And I, you know, I watched my dad. He was an engineer, and he was always under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
He ended up getting pancreatic cancer and passed away, you know, at 59. And I was like, you know what?
Wow.
I want to do something I love. I want to wake up in the morning and not dread going to work. And every day I wake up and I'm like, hey, you know, it's going to be a great day. And I go in and I never go, "Oh, I got to go to work," you know? And,
yeah. No, you always had the right attitude. So you're working at Titletown, but you're an employee. I mean, you're,
yeah. Yeah.
And then, I mean, we have to get, this is such a great story. I need to get more into the plot. But you, so what made you say, look, I want to buy this place or I want to do this. Tell me about that process, how that worked. Because you went and worked for a competitor too for a little while,
correct,
right?
I worked for Hinterland for a number of years.
Great people.
For years, I was working at both places. I would work at, I bartended at Titletown in the morning, and I'd go bartend at Hinterland at night. And both of them were great. You know, I worked for Bill Tressler.
He's great.
And he's fantastic. And Brent Waker was always
he's great to me.
I mean, and, you know, initially when I first did that, people would say, oh, you're working for the competition. Neither one of them really looked at it like that. They were just happy to have a good employee that showed up.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's in that industry, the kind of the more the merrier.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we're gonna talk about that because you are in some partnerships now. And I think that was probably the catalyst to get you to say, look, you know, 1 and 1 equals 3. And that can work in some industries. All right. We're going to take a little break here. But when we get back, we'll talk about how you made the transition from being an outstanding employee to an actual owner. So we're going to talk about that. We are with Sean, the guy with the bar in his last name, Zabarda. And thank you for joining us here on Lean Local. It's Jim Schmidt, Lean Local. We're going to be right back. My own drum.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
With Jim Schmidt, our special guest is Sean Zabarda, and we're talking about the backbone of Greater Green Bay, and that's the small business. And Sean was talking about how guy who was born in Akron, kind of lived in the Wheeling, West Virginia area, came to Green Bay with his family and just really fell in love with it, really a little bit because of the amenities, but and you haven't mentioned the Packers yet, but you really you saw a lot of opportunity here, and you worked at a couple places and went over to Titletown, which was an up and coming business when you started there. They're only 2 years new, and they liked you obviously. And so, tell me about buying a business is totally different than working at a business, and I've done both just like you have. And boy, that just the responsibility you have for these employees and for your customers and the bank.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's looking at you now.
Yeah. It's been a roller coaster of emotions.
How'd that come around though? How did
you... Well, I actually left Titletown at the end of 2018.
Okay.
And I had a friend that had a restaurant in De Pere, and he was having some challenges. And I had actually wanted to be an owner at Titleton. I, you know, practically begged to, like, hey, can I buy in?
Yeah.
Can I find a way? And they had started with a large ownership group, and they were trying to shrink that group down.
Yeah.
So they weren't really trying to add people to the group. And so then I had an opportunity, and I left at the end of 2018. And a little over a year later, they decided they were just going to focus on making beer, and they closed the restaurant. And I was pretty crushed. I mean, that was like, I
my baby, right?
I was 20 when I started there. And and so then I was like, I called Brent, and I said, Brent, you know, can we try to keep it open? And he's like, no. He said, the board made this decision.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, fast forward, another guy decided to open it up. Yep. And I used to tell Brent, I said, hey, if you sell me the restaurant, I'll just call it the Depot, and we'll just keep running it like we were, and it'll basically be the same. And you know, he called me after they had closed down and said, hey, Robert's interested in opening up. Do you care if he uses the name you always said, the Depot? And I said, I don't care. I'll never be back. You know, I kind of thought that in
you
my
didn't
mind.
Say for 10% or
no,
for,
no.
Okay.
Just,
wow. Okay. You
no,
just gave it up. All right. Nice guy.
And then of course, Robert took it over, and within a month, I think, of taking it over, the pandemic started.
Yeah.
And he muscled through it. And
boy, he tried.
He did. He did a great job. And,
yeah, he did.
And then, you know, he just decided he wanted to get out of it.
Right.
And Brent called me and said, hey, would you be interested in taking the Depot over? And initially I said, no, I don't think so. I said, I'm pretty good where I'm at. And then, you know, I started mulling it over. Man, I love that old building.
Right.
I mean, I've got so many memories there.
It's
built in 1898. It's on the National Historic Register.
Right.
And I finally said, yeah, let's sit down and talk. And I brought my wife with me, and Brent, Paul, and my wife and I sat, and we talked through it and decided, you know what? And a good friend of mine had told me, he said, hey, you know, take the jump. He said, what's the worst that could happen?
Exactly.
You fall on your face, and then you go back and you manage somebody else's restaurant.
Right. You know, and I had a, I love this whole entrepreneur thing, and I interview people often and teach a class on it, but you do not want to be 65 years old crying in your beer either.
No.
Saying, oh, coulda, shoulda, woulda. I mean, and you got to take, you know, I'm not saying jump off every cliff, but calculated risks are good to take. I mean, that's why we're capitalists. That's why we live in a free country. We can do this stuff. The government's not going to say, well, no, we got too many of these or too many of those, or we need this or we need that. I mean, being an entrepreneur allows you that creativity that is an innate talent we all have, I think.
Absolutely.
That's cool. So you, even though you had a good deal going,
I will tell you,
but you talked your wife into it. You're a better salesman than I am.
She's awesome. She wants me to be happy, and God bless her. But yeah, at least twice since I bought the place, I've called Brent and said, gosh, Brent, you know, it's so much harder than I thought it was going to be. And if I could do it all over again, I would have stayed working for you, worked twice as hard, and never asked for a raise.
Right.
But I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
It's been a wonderful experience.
All right. So you've owned the Depot, and yeah, I've been in there, and it's, look, I there's a lot of, you know, I mean, for God's sake, you know, there's 150 restaurants. There's a lot of competition out there, and you've got just a great ambiance and great food there. How long have you owned that?
It's been a little over 2.5 years.
Okay. So, and we, as people who love the downtown and love Green Bay, we need places like that in the downtown. Like, we don't want a lot of fast food restaurants. We want unique experiences, and the Depot is probably the best.
And quite honestly, I think we need more of that downtown, because, you know, Brent always said it best. He said, the high tide floats all the boats.
And does.
I think we want to give people reasons to come downtown.
Yeah. And not to come to a restaurant, but come downtown, and then we'll find a restaurant.
Yeah, walk around.
So, right. All right, well, that's cool. And so you did that with all the headaches and challenges. You kept going. You got another place. So, and I think what's... you're okay with partnerships. You had a...
I personally kind of needed the partnership. I didn't find that I was effective on my own. I needed somebody to kind of, you know, kind of be by my side going, hey, maybe we should do this. I don't think I have all the answers. And I love the help. I do.
I think that's great. So right down the block from you is another restaurant, White Dog.
Yep.
So tell me how you got involved with that.
So Tony Wilkin.
He's a good guy.
He's great. He recognized, you know, he had been into the depot a few times, and I'd vented to him about some of the challenges that I've had. And he said, well, maybe I can help. He said, how would you like to have the open jam here on Thursday nights this winter? He was doing an open jam on his patio all summer, and he'd actually gotten a pretty good crowd from that. And I said, yeah, I'd try it. And he didn't really have a space to do
this. So this open jam isn't like croissants and gel. Tell me what this open jam is.
So it's just old guys. We set up a bunch of microphones. Yeah. I've got a bass guitar, an electric guitar, an electric drum set. And anybody that wants to, you know, come and play and sing on Thursday nights.
Like open mic,
yeah, for comedians,
but open jam for musicians.
Correct.
So we talk about the success of your business besides, you know, great, you know, quality of food and customer service. You need people.
Yeah.
And you need to draw them. We're going to talk about that when we come back, because I want to talk to you about events that I think the city can help with as well. We'll get to that. But so this open jam, and Heath could help you, and you needed the business.
And it wasn't just the help from that way. It was kind of an emotional support thing, because like, yeah, I said, I, you know, sometimes it's like, as a business owner, like, you know, you come in, you're excited, you're on top of the world, and then your freezer breaks and it's $8,700 to get it fixed, you know?
When I was there, the forklift broke.
Yeah.
It's like, oh
yeah,
my God.
There's always
and you're there
something alone.
So that's cool to have that emotional support, as well as, you know, quite honestly, financial support.
Right.
Is great too. All right. So that was your second venture within what, six blocks. And then you bought something else we're going to talk to when we get back. And that's right next door here on Washington Street. And this is, you know, with all the challenges, I can tell you are one happy guy, and I think that's very cool. We're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, our special guest, Sean Zimbarda.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Biden's COVID symptoms have improved significantly, according to his doctor, who in his latest update makes no mention of the president's cough or hoarseness as he has before. Joining those urging the president to drop out of the race, a powerful independent who caucuses with Democrats, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin.
It's concerning when you watch him. I'm concerned about the president's health and well-being. I really am.
Calling on President Biden to fire the head of the Secret Service, Kim Cheadle, if she doesn't resign. Over the Trump rally shooting, House Speaker Mike Johnson. A drone believed to have been used by the gunman in the Trump shooting to scope out the site before the rally has been recovered by the FBI, says a law enforcement official. Israeli Prime Minister delaying his trip to Washington until tomorrow after a major military escalation with the Houthi rebels in Yemen. This after the Houthis' deadly drone strike on Tel Aviv. A wildfire in Salt Lake City forces evacuations. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Brewers with a win in Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Twins turned a pitcher's duel into an extra inning slugfest. Tied at one apiece after 10 innings, the Brewers came out and beat them 8-4 in 12 innings of play. Milwaukee's Jackson Churio with a clutch two-run RBI, then a diving catch in left field to end the game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
The catch by Churio, the hits by Churio, the pitching performance by Freddie. Pagero threw great. Really pleased from that standpoint.
NBA, the Bucks losing their fifth straight Summer League game. The Wizards over Milwaukee, 91-79 in Las Vegas. NFL, wide receiver Jaden Reed, who had the most receptions in a rookie season in Packers history, led two football camps for kids, one in Monona Grove, another in Green Bay.
Growing up, you know, I always had people I looked up to and everything. And, you know, this sport is bigger than me. So these guys have a dream, they have aspirations, and, you know, I want to motivate these kids and, you know, just to be in the state I was drafted in.
That's Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed. Training camp starts tomorrow with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. For your Sunday, mostly sunny skies, light northeast winds with highs in the upper 70s. Tonight, a few clouds around, lows near 60. On Monday, plentiful sunshine, temperatures will be warmer. Light southeast winds and highs will reach the lower 80s. It's 78 at our studios.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabby Dada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back to this second half of Lean Local. And this hour, this next half hour, this whole hour, we're spending time on what really makes a community work, what makes greater Green Bay work, and that's small business. And we are have a very special guest with us, Sean Zimbarda. He's got Barr in his last name, not, yes, Sean Zimbarda.
I've been called many things.
Yeah, we'll stick with Zimbarda, who owns, it used to be called Titletown Brewery, now it's called The Depot, right on Dalsman Street, the one with the receiver statue in front of it. And that's kind of a very, it is a unique place with great food, great customer service. Then he also, with his commitment to the hospitality business, is in a partnership with the White Dog, which is just down on Broadway. And one of the reasons that he decided to kind of partner with someone else, everybody would look at that as, why would you partner with a competitor? But you're one of those people who believes that, you know, high tide lifts all boats, which I believe that as well. And you learn some things from him in terms of like this open music venue that you have, as well as, you know, I'm sure there's some recipe trading. So I would think that would be a handful, but you, being the entrepreneur you are, made another step just recently. And the studio, WGBW studio, is down here on 402 North Washington Street. And two doors down, you opened up Waterfront Market.
Yes.
How did that come about? Because it's a little bit different than, you know, do you think it is or not?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is and isn't. I mean, it's still hospitality. I mean, whether you're going in for a dining experience or you stop at the gas station, I mean, you're hopeful that the people you're talking with are friendly and happy that you're spending your money there. I mean,
you're in the retail business,
I mean, and you know, I got the chance to meet Sean Daly, who owns the building, and he had been into the Depot a few times, and he had actually asked me about this a little over a year ago. And at the time I said, I don't think, I mean, it sounds good, but I got my hands full.
Yeah, right.
And I was kind of never, ever planning on doing this. And then with that partnership with Tony from the White Dog, and then Adam, our chef, also, he's a partner there, Adam Slota. And so, you know, with the three of us, I said, well, you know, I feel like we've got a little more strength now with the numbers, and we have the ability to kind of divide and conquer. So if one of us has something going on, the other one can cover. And and you know, we talked with Sean. His sister was running it previously, and she wanted out. She had she lives in Galena, Illinois. She didn't want to be driving up here every week to do an inventory and an order. And you know, we looked at the financials and said, you know, we think we can make this work, and and we think that, you know, this can be a, you know, better than what it is. I mean, not that she wasn't doing anything right, but just being able to connect with downtown and you know, meeting Christy and you being right here too. And I'm like, man, I already love Green Bay. This is like even better.
You just felt like this was the right thing to do.
Yeah, it just felt like a good move.
All right, well, that's cool. And but what you've done, though, I want to just talk about that. And, you know, the city, and I was a part of this, was getting more residents to live down here. I think that was really critical. And, you know, we worked very hard on that with Metro and, of course, where you're at, City Deck Landing. And, you know, I mean, the food distribution in Green Bay is kind of festival, Costco, you know, and there's really nothing right here. And you've addressed that need. And I'll give you a lot of credit for the quality of product you have in there and the variety of product you have. Oh my gosh.
I just added a couple of new products today. So
I tasted one.
Yeah.
No, I think that's, and I think when someone walks in there, you know, and I don't say anything bad about the dollar store, but I think some people want higher quality product. And what did you bring in there today, that offering that I ate on the way home?
So I just recently partnered up with Starzer Meats out of Pound, Wisconsin. So she brought me a 6 different meat sticks, snack sticks. One is a pepper jack snack stick. There's jalapeno. There's a beer cheese. And I found them because I've been bringing in fresh Scray's cheese curds every Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Those
so I stop. Scray's is close to where I live. So I stop at Scray's. I get a case of cheese curds. And one day I was picking up the cheese curds. And I'm like, I'm kind of hungry. I grabbed a pack of these snack sticks. They look good. They were pepper jack. And I'm eating one. I'm like, man, these are some of the better ones I've had.
Yeah.
And I called Will at Scray's and said, hey, where can I buy these? And he said, well, just call Starzer. So I ended up talking with Jenny, and she came down today.
Unique, excellent product.
Yeah.
I mean, I you have a customer in me, and thanks for the free sample. But yes, I'll buy them next time. I think people, and then we, you know, we're also, we've got tourism here, right? And we got the Hyatt, you know, we got Hampton, of course, the Northland. And so people are down here, and I think, you know, I mean, I don't take anything away from room service, but it's nice to go to a nice store and buy some. And you have wine there. You've got hard liquor. You have.
And then we've added a lot of the craft beers. I mean, we put a whole new section of craft beer in today.
Right.
All the locals. So
I just,
you really want to, as someone who, you know, worked in the city for many years, I just want to thank you for doing that. The city, that's nothing government's going to do. You know, we need the entrepreneur, the capitalist to step up and take the risk. And you are taking a risk. I mean, all three of those businesses are risky. Absolutely. They just are. I mean, yeah. I'm not just saying that COVID, but, you know, they have to all be run. I mean, a friend of mine bought a franchise one time and he goes, man, this is awesome. But the problem with the franchise, it was a restaurant. He had to open like two every 3 years. And that gets hard when you have five franchises. You know, that's spinning plates. And yeah. I just give you a lot of credit for, you know, making all three of them work. How is the, hospitality, the employee base? People talk about it. You read about it. Nobody can find employees. We had a business. A friend of mine closed his business for a while because he couldn't find employees. And not a dissimilar business to you. It was a food service. How do you do that?
Well, I'll be honest. At the depot, I've been so fortunate because I had worked there all those years when it was Titletown. And then when I took it over, a lot of the people that had worked there in the past came back. So I've got at least six or seven employees that had worked there when it was Titletown. You know, because we always worked well together. We enjoy working together. And they're good at what they do. They're passionate. They're hardworking. And they love what they do.
And I know you pretty well. I mean, you create a pretty friendly family environment.
I try.
Yeah, I think you do.
I mean, it's all about any place you go to work. I mean, it's all about the environment, right? Yeah. I can't think of the word for it, but you know what I'm
saying. So you've got, that's how you're getting, are you getting people at your other places too? Yeah.
And I always try to encourage, you know, if I've got somebody that's newer, that hasn't worked for me in the past, but they're great. You know, I'm like, hey, do you have any friends that are looking for work? Because, you know, usually when people work with somebody that they're friends with, they're going to want to stay longer because it's more fun and we want to have fun.
Right.
And if they're having fun, then when our guests come in, they're also going to have fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's just magic. You know?
Well, I think it comes from the top. I mean, you like you said, you know, the years you spent in hospitality, you enjoyed dealing with people and pouring good drinks, I remember. So, yeah, that's important. To keep businesses going, I mean, starting a business is fun, ribbon cuttings, the word gets out, but to keep it going, how can the local community, I mean, besides, you know, obviously people supporting you financially, but tell me about the local community. Are there things that Green Bay could do better, or are there things that are working? Tell me what the city can do as a government.
I mean, for us, some of the biggest wins are when there are events in town or anytime there are any kind of, you know, last week we had the jugglers here. I don't know if you noticed all
that. Oh, they were here. Yeah.
I mean, and it was fun. I mean, I was driving in and I saw this guy
down the street.
Jogging.
Isn't that,
he was jogging and juggling. I'm like, I can't chew gum and walk.
Right. We had a guy on a unicycle come by here juggling. And it's just like we ran out there and talked to him.
And it was fantastic for us.
That's cool. And this weekend Sunday show, so just ending up is Art Fest. And those, you know, that helps small business. And I think we need to do more of that.
It's huge. It really is. And I've been really grateful for, you know, On Broadway has been a great partner in downtown Green Bay. And we're members of the Discover Green Bay. And I know they drive a lot of the bigger, you know, tourism. Right. But yeah, anything we can do to make the downtown more attractive. And, you know, if it's events, if it's a festival, if it's, you know.
How you get through the winters? Because that's always a tough time for you guys in hospitality.
They are the leanest times. Yeah, I mean, for us, the summer's always been great. I can't speak to everybody else's business because we're blessed. We've got this big patio and people love that covered canopy.
Yeah.
You know. But
and you have a little theater with the train.
Yeah.
I mean, some people like that.
Yeah, we always make a joke when the train goes by.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating for us sitting on the bridge in our cars, but that's okay. That's okay. As long as you're making money, I'm happy. So it's economic development. Tell me, events drive it. Are Packer games, do people rely too much? Is that icing on the cake, or is that part of the business plan?
It's not part of my business plan. I mean, I'm always grateful when there are home games and it helps, but it's not like it has been in the past. I mean, it used to drive a lot more traffic to downtown, but not like it used to. I think a lot of, you know, Ashwaubenon's really growing with that. And so they're really seeing the biggest benefit from that. But It definitely increases the numbers, probably 20% for us, which is great. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to complain about it.
But some of maybe the smaller activities in the downtown does even
more, drives a lot.
Okay, yeah. More of an impact for you.
Yeah, last night farmers market was great for us.
Right.
You know, things like that.
Yeah, you get 5,000 people down here. That's a pretty good thing. So, and then, like I said, this art fest is a good thing too. And I think it's important that when people look at and there's not a lot of tax dollars that goes into that, but even if there were. What that does to grow small businesses, because the last thing you want in a city is vacant retail. Yeah. I mean, that just brings about more vacant retail, whereas a thriving downtown creates an even more thriving downtown.
Absolutely.
That's really critical that we have that. Tell me we can't let you out of here without talking about the NFL draft. I know, right? I just don't hope people don't, you know, kind of build a church for Easter Sunday, right?
Right.
I mean, you, but boy, do I hope people make some money that week.
Absolutely.
And anything that you guys, I mean, you don't have to share your trade secrets.
I mean, well, for me, again, I'm lucky. Sometimes that big old building is a little bit of a curse, but other times it's a big blessing.
Right.
And having been a brewery in the past, we've got a massive beer cooler. So I'm going to just fill that thing, you know, bottom to top with, you know, beer. And, you know, I'm probably going to have to get a reefer truck in the back to be able to have extra food on hand, because I don't know that we're going to be ready for all the food we're going to go through.
Right.
I'm going to probably simplify the menu and shrink it down because it's going to be an all hands on deck. And if I can find a couple volunteers, you know,
we're on Sundays, you know, this show obviously airs 1 o'clock on Sundays. On the first Sunday of the month, we're going to dedicate that to the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I mean, you're probably going to look for some extra help.
Absolutely.
You know, and I want, if the schools are going to be closed, so there's these teachers that are like, look, I'd like to pick up an extra $500,000 that week, right?
Yep.
And there's obviously ample opportunity in Uber, because traffic is going to be a little bit of an issue here. I'm going to have a guy come on that will help rent your house like I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, why not pick up an extra 15, 20 grand, you know?
I tried. My wife wouldn't go for it.
Yeah, I know. That's a tricky part, but I can help you off the air on how to do that. Cause that's, it's real money.
Yeah.
And they need that, you know, there's just gonna be a lot of people, but I'm going to have you back here on one of these Sundays. Cause I want you to talk about the opportunity that you see with the NFL draft in hospitality. And there's gotta be a tremendous amount in that industry alone. And there's a lot of jobs for setup, like I said, for Uber, for house rentals. There's just a ton of, and I think everybody, I'm going to say this this first Sunday of the month, everyone in Greater Green Bay should make an extra two grand that month.
I mean, that week,
everybody. Yeah. And I'm going to make a little bit more than that with the rental, but on average, I think that would be a good goal for everybody. So we'll talk about that. Look, I want you to stick around. We got one more very quick break, and then I was going to wrap up on what you think the community can do to continue to grow. We're here with our entrepreneur. I can call you the entrepreneur of the year, Sean Zimbarda. Who owns the depot on Dulcimer Street. He's partners with the White Dog and here at the Waterfront Market on Washington Street downtown. We'll be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, the show where we talk about how we can lean into Green Bay and what's going on in Green Bay, the issues that make this community tick, this make this community work. Our guest that we're talking with today is Sean Zimbarda, who is the owner of the Depot, which is on Dulcimer Street, where the Packer receiver statue is. I helped you get that, by the way. The White Dog, which is just an awesome place. I just love the food there and the atmosphere. And then down here, the Waterfront Market on the other side of the river on Washington Street. I think there's a lot of people that would like to be you. Don't go into all the headaches with the job because I get it. But no. I think the hospitality industry is kind of a sexy business, right? I'm sure you've had some movie stars or athletes that come into your place, right? It's sure. It's just because everybody's got to eat and everybody likes to have a drink once in a while. And that's cool. I think owning a retail business, especially in the hospitality, is kind of a cool thing. But it's expensive. And we talked about the risk earlier. So there's programs out there, right? I mean, there's revolving loans, there's mm-hmm. tax credits, there's opportunity zones, economic development loans. I was an entrepreneur too, and we took advantage of some of these things. How did you finance your?
So when I first got in there, the lot of it was personal cash, and then I also took out a loan with a bank. I work with Fortify,
mm-hmm.
and
that's a good bank.
They did they were able to get me into a line of credit program that was an SBA backed. The SBA backed like half of it anyway.
You know, that's nice. That Small Business Administration, there was a time when they weren't doing enough for small businesses. I mean, small business, I think their definition is like 500 employees or something. Well, I'm talking about, 20 employees, right?
Right.
That's a small business to me, and or 20 or less. And, so good. So the SBA was part of your
initial startup plan. Yep.
All right. When you acquire a business, have you gone with owner financing, or did you just kind of maybe do a clean cut?
And when I took over the Depot, there was a chunk that was owner finance.
That's yep. And that's nice because then
it was. I mean, it definitely helped lighten the burden going in.
Right. All right, so people need when people want to get into a business. I understand you really understand what business are we getting into? What's the marketability? What are the economics of that business? But financing is a huge part of that. And if you can have the owner carry some paper,
yep.
If you can get into a small business loan or a revolving loan program, the county had it when I was in there, and we took out a 7-year loan, and it was, but we paid off in like 4 years because we got lucky.
Yeah.
But I think that's great. And sometimes you're in a there's facade improvement grants out there.
If yes.
People want to enhance their business a little bit. Of course, the PACE program. I think it's important that, Sean, before people get into the glamorous side of the business, that they really look at the finances.
Yeah. I honestly just you know, talking with you, I think there's some programs out there that I wish I had known about beforehand,
right,
that would have helped me tremendously getting out of the gates.
Yeah. And we're going to have someone on here from the chamber, and they're going to talk more about some of the programs that they have, and that's their job. I mean, their job is to grow businesses, okay, right? I mean, I know they do other things, but I mean, I don't know. My dad was big time in the chamber, and I think he was, you know, that's what a chamber's job is to grow the businesses in the community. And I think that's important. I think they do a pretty good job of that. But, you know, there's more programs out there than I think people need. And sometimes you got to wade through the paperwork. But I think if someone can help you do that, because you want to sell product.
Right, man. Right. I mean, in the restaurant business, and sometimes some of these forms they bring, it's like, oh, this is a stack. I'm like, yeah, this isn't my wheelhouse, man.
And that's where you can get. And look, there's people in this community that their job is to help wade through that stack of paperwork so that you can actually get on and run your business. So Greater Green Bay, you know it pretty well. I mean, you've been here for, what, 20 years? A little longer than
27 years.
27 years. Any advice for just, you know, outside of hospitality? I mean, you're on the Discover Green Bay board, which is
Or not on the board. I'm a member.
Oh, you're a member of that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, they got it going on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, Brad Toll's been on our show a couple times, and he's going to be on one of these Sunday shows, first Sundays of the month with the NFL draft. He's pretty deep into that.
Yeah.
What are some of your suggestions on Greater Green Bay?
I mean,
Super Bowl?
Yeah. Well, that oddly enough, that was the year that I moved here, was when we had won the Super Bowl, the first when Favre was playing. And that was probably one of the big attractions for me. It was like, man, this town was hopping. But, I mean, again, just continuing to, like, do more to make Green Bay an attractive place to visit. And you know, again, even especially downtown. I mean, I think there, you know, we've got, you know, the PMI. We've got the Rush. We've got, you know, the Packers. We've got, but it just, you know, love seeing downtown grow. And these apartments that are going up, I mean, over by the depot, we've got 214 units that are going to be opening in the next year. I'm excited about that. I'm just loving seeing growth. I'd love to see more shops, you know, reasons for people to, like, come out and just walk around downtown.
Density.
Yeah.
Walkability.
Yeah.
And I would agree. And I think there's, but boy, that is hard to do. It just is.
Like, when you know that more than I do, I just know that, like, when we would go on a vacation, the places we visit,
yeah,
you know.
But I would say when we would go to cities and it's like thriving, and, you know, there's places in all over this country, but Maine, you know, up there, there's in, you know, Indianapolis, but that just doesn't happen, Sean. I mean, it takes the government working, it takes the support of the people, the city councils. Yeah. You really, and sometimes it may not look that great on paper, but it could work, and you just got to take that leap of faith and say, like, we're going to build this city deck. I mean, that's $13 million, but, you know, it's, you know, it helped bring along economic development, Hagemeister, you know, Nicolet, and those are the kind of things we got to work on. So I'm glad you're successful with your three businesses. I'm glad you're also helping the community by giving some advice to On Broadway, to Downtown Green Bay, and to Discover Green Bay, because, you know, it's you being, you know, on the front line, and people who care deeply about this community, that partnership is what's going to make this community grow. So,
absolutely.
Well, congrats to you and continued success, man. We're going to be there supporting you. We are, again, I just want to thank you for coming in, Sean.
Thanks for having
Sean
me.
Sean Zimbarda, the Depot on Dousman Street, the White Dog on Broadway, and right down here, the Waterfront Market on Washington Street. Thank you for joining us. Come back next week, Sunday, 1 o'clock. We're going to have another episode, a little bit more political next week, but it's all about Green Bay, because this is a show where we lean local. Thanks for joining us.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The Todd Almaus Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Tell me who that's good for. Yeah. I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. I have no proof of this. I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. I think he wants to feel the power.
The Todd Almaus Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.